Better on Draft podcast is recorded live in Detroit Sound Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, and Matt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 76 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken. We don't have Matt here to tell us number 76 in the...
Don't worry, I'll look it up.
Well, like, give Rob and I a few minutes.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, I didn't even get a chance to do 75. I mean, greatest football player of all time, Mean Joe Green.
Oh, I thought Joe Montana.
Jeez. Joe Montana.
Joe Montana's a quarterback.
What about Brett Favre?
Favre.
Forget about him.
Favre.
There was a video of him recently, like him still throwing bullets. Like, oh my God.
That old rocket arm, as they always say.
He has nothing to do except do underwear commercials.
So there is no active number 76, but there is a Hall of Famer number 76 for the Detroit Lions.
Detroit Lions.
Lou Kriegmer.
I have no idea. What year is that?
1950 to 1959.
Bobby Lane years.
Inducted in 1996.
Probably something in the Hall of Fame on that one.
I wonder if the number's retired over at Ford Field.
It's on the Lions Pride on the suites section.
There you go.
Yeah.
Rob, sorry.
No, I get to stare at it all the time. So
I've been in those seats, too.
We've had some times there.
What are you drinking over there?
I was double fisting for a second. I had the Dogfish Head Palo Santo Marron. And
sounds complicated.
Yeah, I know. It's, well.
Can I buy a vowel?
There's a few in there. Right now, and I've got the Cigar City. I don't know what the heck this is.
I think it's Jazzy Gautama? I don't know.
I'll figure it out in a second when I look it up.
Yeah. Right. It's good.
Yeah, no, it's good.
That's the only thing I could find on Beer Advocate. Maybe if I look it up on Untappd.
So we got that actually from Cigar City. Matt, while not in the studio, has brought us some gifts to drink today. We actually have a full table, which is always great.
Not just beer, too.
I know. We're going to be getting into that soon.
Sorry, Matt.
Nick, what's going on?
It's going, man.
It's going.
I finally back on a normal sleep schedule now.
I know.
Thanks for turning the power back on.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Well, it's not like you turned it off for everyone.
You know what? You'd be very, very surprised as to how many people think that it's just simple flipping a switch. It's not even remote.
The internet's out.
Like,
you're just going to unplug it and plug it back in. That's not what you guys do over there?
Is that the South Park episode?
Yeah, the South Park.
Yeah, there's no more internet. We got to
go to Cali Fortnite Way.
Got to ration out the internet.
What are you drinking over there?
I got this Cigar City that we're still trying to figure out what the heck it is.
And it's the Jazzy Gautama. Brown ale with maple and coffee.
Very good. And then I got a North Peak Stormy Oat IPA. I got a can of Ghetto Blaster staring me in the face.
I know. I'm almost out of Ghetto Blaster. That's such a gripe. I always forget because I think I've gone away from Ghetto Blaster to where – you forget about it because there's so many other beers. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that it's a bad beer. You're just
right.
I know this beer and this beer and this beer. And then you forget until you see the boombox case.
Yeah, the time when I was living downtown or when I was at Wayne State, I didn't even hear of Motor City Brewing until I started going to school down there.
I was going to say you lived like two blocks away.
Well, this is before I lived down there.
Okay.
This is before I even, rushed that fraternity that we'll not talk about. But, getting the Ghetto Blaster for the first time, that was
nice.
You've mixed it with their Nut Brown, right?
No, actually, I haven't.
That's definitely one of my favorite beer mixtures. It's called the Nut Blaster.
Wow. Well, I wonder why
that
they call it
painful.
That.
Well, it's a Nut Brown and a Ghetto Blaster.
Therefore.
I mean, do you really want to call it the Ghetto Brown? That doesn't sound very PC.
It's okay. We got Rob on the show, guys.
Oh, that makes everything.
Oh, yeah, it's okay now. It's okay.
And there goes all our listeners.
We can't be racist because we have a black guy on the show.
That's what it is.
We can't be sexist because we have our new mainstay Angela over here. What's going on?
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
What are you drinking?
I got.
She's got a lot
Ascension
going on.
From, I went there last. I went there on St. Patrick's Day when I was coming back from Witch's Hat, and I have Jade and Silent Bob Triple IPA, and their Batch 200. I think it's a blonde peach sour.
Are you quadruple fisting over there or something? Jeez.
I've got Ghetto Blaster, and then I also
she's got that full crawler from Cigar City standing in front of her too. Saves up for us.
I was gonna say
Friday
wherever
night.
That jazzy
Friday
is,
night.
That I'm confiscating the rest of that jazzy Gotama.
Oh,
by the way,
body,
so
it's pretty much. Oh, by the way, as far as
say it's pretty much gone.
Oh no, that is gone. I think it is. But since you guys are talking about Motor City, you guys did hear that they are expanding.
Mm.
Yeah, they are getting, as far as I can tell, I'm not sure when it's going to happen, but I see that they are expanding in what is called in Detroit is the Avenue of Fashion, which is over at Livernois between 7 and 8 Mile.
Good for them.
So they look like they're going to be opening up a new spot over there. Which
that's going to be right over by the Livernois Tap Room, where Axel's
where Axel's going to be, pretty much,
on the opposite side of 8 Mile.
So it's going to be opposite side of 8 Mile, and hopefully with a hell of a lot more parking spaces than what they have in Midtown, and, you know, all four parking spaces that are allowed in there for them.
Oh yeah.
No well, kidding. That, and of course, then you're competing against Jolly Pumpkin and Traffic Jam and Snug.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
which the dessert I've been told at Traffic Jam is amazing. I don't eat dessert, so
it's not
don't
too
have
shabby.
That sweet tooth. Well, everybody talks about it just because they're their own dairy procurer too. So
yeah, they have quality food in there. That's
well, we do have two guests in the studio today. Longtime listeners, as we're learning, as we're talking to them.
Absolutely. We actually have longtime listeners on this show.
First time callers or first time interviewers.
Long time, first time.
I was going to say, I always heard the one joke of first time listener, long time caller. And I always say that whenever I try to call into the radio because I'm a dork and I can. So let's start off with the gentleman to the left of me. Why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us who you work for.
Aaron Terrell, and I'm with Blue Note Beverage.
All right, and what is Blue Note Beverage?
Blue Note Beverage is a company I started last year that is focused on craft beer, mostly breweries, but I do distilleries and cider companies as well. It's anything that's small, medium size breweries in the craft industry, and just helping them do marketing and sales.
All right. So you started this company yourself?
I did, yeah.
And what is it that you actually do? Like, do you sell to beer stores? Are you a distributor? Are you a marketer? Are you...
No, that's a good question. I think the best way to explain it is I have experience in all three tiers of the industry, and I'm applying that to a new kind of business that hadn't existed until recently, I think. There's a handful of us out there, but I think it's still a relatively new idea. With 7,000 breweries on the horizon, there's 6,000 right now.
Yeah, we talked about that on the show. Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it's exciting, but it's also it can be intimidating to a lot of these folks coming in from other industries where they don't have background in it, but they're like, hey, I love brewing and I jumped into this business and I wanted to start a brewery and
right.
Yeah. And I'm kind of there to help them understand the three-tier system because I've been doing it for the last 20 years.
Okay. All right.
Awesome. And we do have go ahead.
Oh, no. And, the three-tier system is, we've talked about that numerous times on this show and I still don't really get it.
You don't get it?
No, I don't.
Well, it's fairly simple.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you got three tiers.
Yeah.
It's called Prohibition.
Yeah.
Fakes Prohibition. It takes a lot.
The simple way to put it for the three-tier system is you have the brewery company that makes the beer.
Mm-hmm.
They have to sell it to a distributor to then sell it to an actual beer store or bar. So they now there are limits in regards to how big you are that you can sell direct.
Yep.
But once you get to a certain output, you have to go through a distributor.
Okay, fair enough.
And then most distributors are owned by the big named companies.
Yep.
And they control everything.
assholes.
I agree.
Well, guys, it gets even more complicated because across the country, after Prohibition, it was left state to state, county to county. Mm-hmm. So you had states like Kentucky who decided to go almost completely dry.
Ooh, man.
Well, yeah, you think why. Yeah. I mean, that's where all the bootlegging was done. I mean, they wanted to protect their business and didn't want competition. So Michigan has, like as you mentioned, the laws that some of the laws are regulations that, that you laid down, but they are state to state and they're all really different and they're antiquated. So what I help is interpret that to new suppliers coming in and kind of play relationship counseling between distributors and suppliers.
Okay.
All right. And we have a second guest like over here. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi. Greetings. My name is Eric Schneider. I'm the head of Artisan XL. Very similar to Aaron, I have gotten involved, you know, fairly recently with setting up my own business. Now, this is focused more on the people side of things. So, you know, the mantra is, you know, we're going to help craft beverage producers, you know, attract, develop, and retain people. So my background, you know, is more in manufacturing. Before about a year ago, I made the jump. But I've been involved in craft beer, you know, more as an aficionado for, you know, since the early 90s. That's when I visited my first craft brewery.
Which one's that?
The first place I went to was called, at the time, Holy Cow in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is a great name for a craft brewery, right? I like that. Awesome. Holy Cow, this is good. Or, you know, at the time it was, it was one of the first, at least around there. They're now called, what is it, Big Dog or something like that. If anybody visits Vegas, it's called Big Dog.
No, the only I've never been to a brewery in Vegas except for the one that's in the Four Queens, which is a Chicago brewery, and they do have Dan's not here, but one of our favorite beers. So before like the craft beer boom started, you still had to pay for that kind of beer. No, but even if you were sitting at the table, still had to pay for that beer.
Oh, sure.
So we would go play the money wheel for 20 minutes, make like $5. Go over, get a new beer, walk back to the money wheel over at the Fitz, because this was before the D was there. Play the money wheel, win $5, go back. And that would be like a night where we just get tanked, because this beer, again, a brown ale, no hops, no like really malt forward, just so, so good. So Vegas, I mean, there's just so much to drink out there that it's really hard to decide to go to a brewery.
There is. I'm very lucky. My parents actually live in around Las Vegas. It's one of the suburbs called Henderson. And if you guys have heard of
it. It's one of the not Main Street. There's a huge casino out there. That's one of like the small chain that everyone knows about, because it's owned by Main Street. That's
Station,
where,
Texas Station?
No. It's one of like the station style type places, because that's where Moose got married.
Oh, okay. All right.
They have a Green Valley Ranch. They have the M. You know,
I've heard of Green Valley. Isn't that like really like ritzy and lucrative, luxurious?
Sunset Station. There we go.
Not for me. I haven't won anything there. I've got all my cash.
I don't know. Maybe I've heard something else with a similar name. It's not inside like the main city or the suburbs. It's like further out.
Yeah, it's funny. That area, they cater a lot to people that live local, you know, rather than, you know, trying to get the tourists. You know, they know they've got a million people in the area and they all want to spend money too. So,
It also gets them away from having to deal with the hustle and bustle of downtown or the strip.
Right.
As much as downtown isn't too bad, the strip has just got awful. I'm not one. I mean, you've been on the strip.
Yeah. We've gone a couple times, Ken and I, and we seem to spend more time
downtown
Fremont Street than we've had in the strip. A lot of the fun's down on the old downtown, if you ask me.
Totally agree with
that.
Old soul. You can go see Carl Safesacks on the street.
Yeah. Or they got those free concerts.
Free concerts. Oh yeah,
nice.
The Fremont experience is great.
Yeah,
all the things that they offer for you just to walk through the street to go from, and it only takes you a minute to go from casino to casino, as opposed to a half hour. Especially if you're at Caesars.
Oh.
Well, if you're at Caesars, it takes you a half hour just to walk by.
Yeah,
that place is ridiculous.
I know. Yeah, here's like 10 buildings. Oh, we're still passing.
We're still going by Caesar. This place looks like Caesar. Are we in a circle or something? No, we're still walking.
No, we're still
by
in front of the main building.
We're like walking up to MGM too.
Oh,
that's always a pain.
Oh yeah. Treasure Island's got is like something similar too.
I don't think I've ever been to Treasure Island. I was in front of it to watch the show.
Yeah, that was like the only time.
I think that's the volcano show over there or something like that.
No, I thought that was...
Is it the boat?
That's the pirate ship.
The pirate show, yeah. Pirate ship. I don't remember who the volcano is.
That's...
Is that the... That's not the Venetian.
We drink song. A lot.
Dude, you're in Vegas.
That's true.
If you're not drinking a lot, then you're not really...
I'm surprised you guys remember so much. You're not supposed to.
Well, usually during those times, it's hard. You're taking a long time from drink to drink because you're walking forever just to get there.
All that walking.
You're not playing enough of the nickel slots. I mean, that's where you get...
No, we would do the... well, first we found $3 Pai Gow, which is ridiculous in the first place. But secondly, we used to play the it's not like machine blackjack, but it's virtual blackjack with a fake dealer.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, makes the mannerisms and fake deals to you.
I trust them more, actually.
So we would not confiscate, but take the whole table. And there was at one point we were playing at the Vegas club, and the bartender would – or not bartender, but the waitress would come by every 15 minutes and refill our drinks.
Yeah.
Every 15 and get a dollar every single time for each person. So there was, I think, 7 of us at the table, one sitting playing slots next to us. So, you know, that's $32 an hour just from us.
Damn.
And just we didn't even ask for refills. She just brought them.
Good investment on your part, right?
Oh, yeah.
One of the last times we went, we'll stop the Vegas conversation. We went to the D Las Vegas, the new one, the old Fitzgerald's.
Oh.
We went to the Long Bar, our buddy Brown and I, and it was his birthday. We were just putting, you know, he put a $20 bill in. I put another, like, $100 bill in. We were playing quarter blackjack at the Long Bar.
We're drinking Guinness that night, too.
Drinking Guinness that entire, like, time we were there. We were like there for a couple of hours.
Yeah, that was when
that was a mistake.
Well, that wasn't when the Wings backdoored and they beat Dallas to win.
Yes, yeah,
to get into the playoffs. And I think that was a short season too, wasn't it?
It might have.
So the season that we lost to Chicago in 7.
Yes.
Bad times.
We won't talk about that.
Bad times.
So, Aaron, what's your favorite style of beer?
That is lager.
Lager.
Yeah. Right now, I mean, it changes like anybody. I think that's an easy, hard question.
What's your favorite beer right now? This second.
Oh, like they're drinking this second? Ghetto Blast.
Only because it's in front of them.
It's 3.8%, and it's, this is a...
I think you referred to it as water.
Oh, whatever. Yeah.
Well, no, because you could drink so much and
I mean, between the other beers that I brought tonight, because I brought a little something from all the clients that I work with. So I brought you a lot of stuff, but I mean, Motor City Ghetto Blaster at 3.8%,
sure.
Mild. I mean, this is a true to style English session.
Ale. Yeah. Oh, session. Yes.
Before anyone
session,
was doing it.
Absolutely.
By the way, this is their 20th year anniversary for Ghetto Blaster. So this year celebrating 20 years. And there's going to be a bunch of stuff coming out this year from Motor City and Ghetto Blaster to celebrate the 20 year
that
everyone's going to dig. And, you know, like you were talking, like haven't had in a while, there's going to be some reasons to try it again, you know.
That's interesting. I'm probably gonna have to do some research, maybe talk to Steven Johnson, because you're talking 20 years of Motor City. Dragonmead celebrating 20 years,
25 years of Motor City,
25 at Motor
20
City,
20 years of Ghetto Blaster,
20 years of Ghetto Blaster. Got it.
But Motor City, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, you're fine.
By all means,
Motor City is now the second oldest craft brewery in Michigan behind Bell's.
Really.
Yeah, there's a couple
I guess consistent.
Yeah.
Continuous, because, I mean, you got Frankenmuth.
Yep.
Which Frankenmuth probably has years on them as opposed to continuous, because Frankenmuth reopened in the 90s.
They had a tornado.
Tornado destroyed them, and then they reopened up in the 2010s, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of my time frame.
I'm thinking that it might be fair.
I don't know. I'd have to ask Chuck.
Where's Chuck? Get him on the show.
I'm trying.
I know.
I've known him for. I met him at the Zoo Brew like years ago before we even started this show.
Yeah. Get him on Skype.
Get him on Skype. We've tried that a few times with people. It doesn't really work out so well.
Yeah, it worked with our guy from California.
It did. The Craft Check app.
Yep, Craft Check.
God, I can't even remember. Yeah, so 25 years there. You've got 20 years, I believe, at Dragonmead. Like Dragonmead Kunin's having this huge festival this year in Warren. So that's a lot of, you know, older, I guess, long standing breweries. And you're talking like Black Lotus is up there for being, I think they were open in the 90s, or early 2000.
They closed for business in 2003, reopened 2009.
Okay.
So
there
you
we go.
Close. Yeah.
Early 2000s was the tornado.
Yep.
And then late 2000s, they reopened.
An F3 tornado. That's pretty.
That's smaller than an F5.
Well, yeah. If we're talking Twister, that's probably like mid-movie.
All right, okay. Go back.
That doesn't make cows fly around.
No. Okay. I would
same
say
cow.
Okay, Helen.
That poor cow.
We missed you, Bill.
Well, what about
R.I.P.
What about you? What do you like in regards to styles, beers? You know what makes it to your refrigerator?
Well, I'll tell you. You know, we just stopped at River Rouge Brewing. You know, right before here.
Did you want to say hi to Ed for us?
Absolutely. Yeah. Great place, by the way. You know, he asked me the same thing. What styles do you like? And I said, I'll make it easy. I like everything, which is unfortunate. But, you know, there are so many different styles out there now with just, you know, so much experimentation. I found myself going back to the basics and kind of like what Aaron said, you know, the lagers, the pilsners. That's a real test for what a brewer can do. You know, is it clean? Is it tasty? You know, is it ready to be presented? So I've been kind of reviewing the things that got me into craft beer to start with. So, you know, I've got a lot of lagers and pilsners in my fridge now.
Nice.
And everything else is in the cellar.
So, you know, Pabst, Coors Light.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a PBR guy.
Are you really?
Hell yeah.
Although I do have to say, last time I was in Myers, PBR was up to like, $16.99. Hams, $11.99 a cube.
It's funny because there's there's a Facebook group that I always I talk to people. If you're interested in regards to the happenings in Detroit, it's called Return to Detroit. It's ran by a guy named Chester Brown. Really smart, really intelligent person. He goes to all the bars, dives, nice places, goes to all the restaurants. Him and his wife are retired and just love hanging out. They live down there and just rock out whatever is going on down there. And he talks about how much the hipster liking of PBR is raising his prices of PBR, and he's not too happy. Which is funny because – so this guy retired somewhere in his 60s. We go to Wrigleyville for a bowling tournament, and he drinks me under the table. And I'm a big guy, and I can drink.
Yes, you can.
And I'm trying to keep up with him. And it's not working, and he's our driver. He's sober as a bird, and I'm like, how the hell are you? And the thing is that he's not drinking, like, PBRs and stuff. He's drinking – like, we went to the Goose Island in Wrigleyville. He's drinking Bloody Marys. I'm like, I know. You are crazy. And that was the night before we were getting tanked at a bowling tournament. So,
well, if you're not drinking at a bowling
– Well, the thing was the bowling tournament, the group before us got – was late. So we had to wait 2 hours before we could bowl our 8 games.
Oh, gosh.
So I was drinking for 2 hours before I went and bowled.
How'd you bowl?
I think I got third in our division, and
nice.
I mean, I shot. It's the Peterson, so it's a really tough tournament.
Yeah, fucks with your head.
Oh yeah, it does.
Where were you bowling in Chicago?
We were in Hoffman Estates. I don't know the exact name of the bowling alley. I know it's closed now.
Yeah.
So this was maybe 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that kind of stuff. Like I love like the light lagers. I love my go-to Stroh's in a bottle. Not the new Stroh's either.
Old Stroh's.
If I would have known, I could have brought you guys. I do have a 60-year-old can of Stroh's that I could have. We could have tried for.
As a longtime listener, yeah, I've heard that.
I'm still waiting for the proper day. So you know, any future guests, if you want me to crack it open with you, you know, I ain't doing it by myself.
I don't know. I think we're approaching 100 rather quick. Maybe you might want to consider episode 100.
I don't know when we'll have to date out what 100 is. I might get sick that day. Achoo. I got a cold coming on in 24 weeks.
Yeah, I'm calling bullshit.
I got a John Courage from 1970, so maybe we can.
What's a John Courage?
Oh, John Courage is it's a brewery. You know Samuel Smith Brewery?
Yes.
So they were brothers, and John Courage was this beer that was out in like the 60s and 70s in the United States, imported here. I don't know the whole history there, but they were the brothers of the Sam Smith Brewery. So. John Courage, though, was available in and out throughout the 70s. One of the first imported English beers. But anyway, I owned a pub in Detroit in the early 2000s, late 90s, and found a bunch of these cases in the basement. So go toe-to-toe with you on that.
All right.
some old beer. I won't open them. I mean, I know they're going to be vinegar.
Are you going to be going to the Spring Beer Festival for Royal Oak?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I love those shows. That's where we met.
That's where we met.
Yeah.
Were you partaking in the festivities that night too?
No. Yeah, of course I was.
I was like, because I was too. I lost my phone that night.
Oh, well, sorry to hear that. No, I didn't lose the phone, but I have such a great time. John Bonanjak, who puts on that show with his crew, they're great shows. So I'm a part of all of those.
Awesome.
Nice.
So let's crack open something you brought real quick.
That'd be great. Well, real quick, I brought a lot. So
okay, let's.
Well, there's no such thing as a lot on this show.
Because I brought some stuff that doesn't exist out to the public right now.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, okay,
let's talk about that.
Yeah. So I have multiple clients. So the difference between me and like a brewery rep or a distributor rep is that I represent different breweries across different distributors. So I'm kind of this fourth tier that kind of a collaboration tier because I deal with all the distributors
mm-hmm.
and different suppliers. And I try to keep it different as far as like not competing from the brands that I carry. Mm. I try to keep it around five because that's really all I can handle.
Okay.
So the first thing I want to show you guys is a cider company that isn't out yet, but they're about to release in about 8 to 10 weeks. Ooh. And it's called Big Red Cider. The apples are grown in Romeo or Washington Township at Big Red Farms, Big Red Orchards. And the Sellerman guys in Hazel Park are doing the fermentation.
Nice.
So I'm going to show you one of theirs.
Oh,
got one of the big crowlers.
Oh, that's the. I also brought you a Sellerman mead because I was there and I wanted to represent those guys too.
Okay.
Shout out to Dominic and the guys at Sellerman's.
Thank you. That's what I meant.
Yeah. No, good people over there. A lot of fun. Good beer. Good mead.
Oh,
the first time I've actually had
good popcorn.
Popcorn. Yes.
The different salt flavors that you can get. The little topping flavors. Ah. Yeah. Just eat that all night.
Right.
And metal. Don't forget metal.
Their music list there is really eclectic.
It's a lot of hip-hop now, but I mean, they're
is
metal
really?
Dudes. Yeah.
Dominic. I got to change that.
Obscene hip-hop stuff.
A little hip-hop.
No.
But,
I know.
But I mean, you know, first reading about those guys when they came in, they were like the Danzig of mead. Like they were just this nice. Looming, like evil menace that came down. And
Glenn
I was
Danzig.
Like, who are these guys? I first heard about them when I was working at another meadery. And I'm like, these guys are doing some really cool stuff. So really happy to be partnering with them. And them doing the fermentation, it's just art. I mean, it's nice. Pure art. So I'm going to show you the Big Red Semi-Sweet.
All right.
And crack this open.
Can you hand me that other crawler real quick, too, just so I can take a neat little photo of it.
Yeah, this is, and so the other crawler is the Sellerman Raz, which is their mead.
I was going to say, so what's your opinion? Because this is obviously the drink that I always talk up is their meal, the Moscow meal.
Yes.
And that's, yeah, okay, as they're shaking their heads, yeah. Yeah, that's really good.
By all means, yes.
Definitely one of my favorite, like whenever I talk to people and I tell people about Sellerman's, sure like I was in Hazlitt this week, and the owner of the bar that I was with, I'm like, you have to go, you know, go downtown, or not go downtown, but when you go downtown, go to Sellerman's, get some Moscow meal. You won't be disappointed.
Nope.
But I mean, what's great about this area is that there's so many different little places that you can go after Sellerman's. Like you can run to River Rouge, you can go to the Rob, Boston, Lily's, River. I think I already said River Rouge, the Wab, Schramm's, Bee Nectar. You can give me more. You can tell me twice.
Dude, so yeah, these apples are from Big Red Orchards in Romeo. So this is the cool thing is this is a partnership with the Sellerman guys and the orchard. So they're going down there. They came down and checked the terroir. And, I mean, these guys are serious about their art. And they, like, smelled the dirt. There's a beehive on the property, and these guys walked into there like just bears. Like, I mean, the bees actually like were cool with them. Like, I was afraid to go where they were going.
From what I hear, they want to start cultivating their own honey for their own meetup at the lumberyard.
They're working. I think they're working on. They got so many like micro projects going on. I think they are true artists with what they do, and we're so proud to be partnered with them. And so. These ciders, we're doing strictly a cider line with them, and Big Red Ciders. This is the semi-sweet. There'll be a cherry called Big Red Cherry that will be out, and that's going to be it. We're going to start with those, and we're going to start small. They are already distributed right now with Imperial Beverage and available in bars right now. They're not really doing bottling yet. Actually, I think they're waiting to do canning for most of their stuff, but I think they're going to do limited like still mead bottles. Let those guys let you, you know.
Yeah, I think we're gonna have to get Dominic back in here. I know he loved it when he came in, and he always is happy to see at least me when I show up.
No, he prepped me a little bit before I came in. Well, that's where I got this stuff. This has just been tapped off their crawler like hours ago. I was just there. So those guys are amazing.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Taking a sip of the – oh, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, is it available in Romeo at the Orchard?
That's a great question. No, the Orchard is probably – you can drive by Big Red. I mean, a lot of people have known about Big Red. It's been there since the 1940s. I mean, this is the Wrigley family had the property way back when and kept it as a stable for their show horses. And it goes back to that. That's where the Big Red, you know, name comes from. So the Orchards are a part of a lot of family history where people have been down there with their kids, or you've been down there as kids, and they continue to do that. But they're building this 11,000 square foot restaurant, distillery, brewery, cider. So if you drive by, you'll see the structure. But it probably summer, August. Late summer, August, they'll be open. In the meantime, you'll see some on premise places carrying the cider on draft.
If you go to Miller's Big Red Facebook, you can see pictures of the building in progress.
Nice.
Big coming soon sign, and it's, you said 11,000 square feet. Yeah, this is pretty big.
That's the addition. Yeah,
it's pretty big.
So yeah, and the farm was built by Bolt Builders. So the original structure that you're seeing there with that big white building, you could actually tip that over into the Great Lakes or the ocean, and that will float. I mean, the family that built that like spent a lot of money. So there's going to be some really cool dining experiences there. They're going to do boutique distilling. Cider making and a little brewery, probably doing a lot of farmhouse stuff there.
Nice.
And what was the name of the cider?
Red Semi Sweet. They keep it really simple. And if you've ever been there, you see why. I mean, it's a farm. I mean, this is literally branch to glass.
Oh wow, that's. I mean, it's just something you don't hear very often. It's like branch to glass. I'm like, all right, I'm in.
Not farm to table.
It's like, what? What did you say?
I feel like that's the inner hipster in me was just like, oh, branch to glass. I must have this
money.
Did you mark out there?
No marking.
Dude,
out
I'm
sure.
I'm like the antithesis of a hipster. I take that as a compliment because I think that I mean it really is. I mean, this is when you go down there, you'll see like they're trying to get away from. The you pick and put the fruit into the glass.
It's not like so much. I don't go out to like apple orchards too often, like a Blake's or a.
It's because you can't reach the apples.
But, you know what? Shut up.
We have less.
Matt's not even
like a Yates or a Blake's bows. Or you know one of those like big name like apple orchard places. They're not. It doesn't sound like this is kind of. Those places, from what you're telling us,
it's family owned, mm-hmm. And which I think would be similar to Blake's or any of those places. But it's in the same area as Blake's. It's called the Orchards, and there's a lot of family orchards out there. So we work with families around there, the farms around there.
Yeah,
there is a boom going on with people moving out there.
That is absolutely true. Yes.
So
absolutely.
This is a preservation of keep. I mean, the farm is the farm. There's going to be a bicycle track out there. Nice. Actually. A fat tire track. This place is going to be amazing to visit on top of like where it's at now. Right now, it's kind of seasonal.
Mm-hmm,
You know, you can go out there for your October, November, season. But it's going to be the brewery is going to be kind of – or brewery, cidery, distillery is going to be a year-round thing.
Nice. Yeah. Not that far from me, man. Northern Sterling Heights, man.
Yeah,
straight shot up
59 now.
Straight shot up 53.
So what distilleries do you work with?
Big Red distills too. So they do apple brandy.
Oh.
And they're doing a line. I I can't announce because I just don't know what it will be announced as. Kind of like an apple pie elixir or liqueur product. We're trying to figure out what to call it because no one's ever done it. And it's all fresh fruit, tastes like an apple pie. And we're partnering with a Detroit distiller on that. So more to come on that. But that's the distiller I'm working with. The apple brandy is amazing.
Obviously, stay tuned to their Facebook page, and
yeah,
I'm sure they'll announce it on there soon. So, what are your, like, outside the state of Michigan, what are your favorite beers or breweries or
Three Floyds?
Three Floyds,
yeah, that's
nice. Something you can't get in the state. What about you?
Well, I had the good fortune to be able to travel a lot for my previous job, so I used to spend a lot of time in Santa Rosa, California.
Nice.
So, you know, Russian River up there. Just an amazing place to
another
be able
beer
to
you
visit.
Can't get here.
Yeah, unfortunately, no. but believe me, I muled a lot back, and I made a lot of friends that I still somehow managed to get some Russian River.
Funny, yeah. I just saw that tweet of a box that had a couple bottles of Pliny the Elder in it.
Yeah, all right, you're doing some research on me. All right, good, good.
You know what's interesting? Like for not being an IPA fan, like Pliny's not a bad IPA at all. Like it's definitely smooth. It's not overly hoppy. It doesn't kick you in the mm-hmm. face. At least in my opinion. I also drank like two full bottles of Monk's DuPont Stout before I had it, so
everything's good after that.
I've yet to try it, but I've been hoping to get up to adventures in home brewing and getting the supplies needed to make the Pliny clone to see how.
Have you brewed any beer with you?
I have absolutely not brewed any beer, so you know, you always remember your first, right? So we'll see what happens.
In tribute to Russian River, I'm just passing around one of the groups I work with. This is CNN Imports. Delete Brewery out of Belgium, and if you like sours, you're going to be. Well, I'm just going to let you say it. I'd hate to put words in your mouth because you might just.
I hate sours, so my expectations. Oh, yeah.
But it's a good thing that you warned him.
There's Motor City there, so you can always pour the Motor City in there. If you want to cut it.
Speaking of Motor City, hold on a second.
A ghetto cuvée.
Oh, my God. Oh,
what a great noise.
Yeah. All over the microphone, too.
I don't know what it is. That's one of my pet peeves in regards to, like, everybody that has a radio show always has to do that.
Who was doing that a lot last week?
Oh, that was
our guest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was our guest.
Ryan Whiteside from Brewery. Brewery Vivant.
Oh, dude. Brewery Vivant. I just had a Saison earlier today from Brewery Vivant at Park Bar. Awesome.
I was going to say, Park I don't Bar. Remember too much of what we had last week, except for I remember the Triumph being good for
yes.
not me being an IPA yeah. guy. I'm starting to realize more and more like the different hops that I like. And therefore knowing what IPAs I can go to without having to worry about.
That, you know, it's funny that you mention that because, you know, you think, you know, for me personally, I drink IPA, and the first thing that comes to mind is not the hop that I'm going to be consuming.
Well,
so yeah. It's weird that, you know,
we
for someone
about,
who's not an IPA drinker such as yourself, or, you know, at least, you know, up until...
I'm still not IPA.
Well, last week you made some strides.
Unless it's a year old.
I was going to say,
unless
yeah,
it's a year old IPA.
Don't we have a triple IPA? Let's see what that
yes,
tastes like in my mouth soon.
I forgot once again to need to bring
Angela
that
might say, over my dead body, you ain't taking this.
Oh, no, she probably want to see, like.
I want him to try it.
Oh, you just want to see the look
see
on his
face.
I feel much like him. I've been really interested in learning about the different hop variants because I've always liked IPAs,
sure.
but I didn't know what I liked about them. So
okay.
I've been playing with the idea of doing like a single hop tasting.
It's interesting for the fact that, again, you know, I'm realizing I like Centennial hops, but I hate the Centennial hopped beer of Michigan, which is Two Hearted. Right.
Oh,
wow.
Heart.
Oh, I don't like it at all.
That's I worked for a California very hop forward brewery, IPA brewery, and I've always thought that beer was number one.
Love
the Two Hearted.
Yeah, Two Hearted has always been my favorite beer.
Two Hearted,
not because of Michigan, not because it's the best Centennial IPA I've ever had. And I worked for, I mean, that would be blasphemy for the last brewery I worked for.
Where did you work?
I worked for Stone Brewery for 9 years.
Oh, nice, very nice.
Yeah.
So in
awesome
regards,
brewery. I mean, their Centennial is be my number two, but I mean,
yeah.
it was. Two Hearted is amazing.
In regards to Two Hearted, like I could drink it when I would be at Luna. And so from 9 to 10, it would be free drink night.
Dude, not fair bringing up Luna.
I would get tanked on free drinks from 9 to 10. And then from 10 to 11, it'd be $2 you call it. So I would already be 10 drinks in before 10 o'clock. And then too hard, it tasted like anything that I wanted.
Well, I'm sure that's the case.
I was drinking 7 and 7s, so it tasted like...
So you hate 7 and 7.
I love 7 and 7s.
You like too hard. You just hate 7 and 7s.
I was able to drink too hard, thanks to all those 7 and 7s, that's for sure.
Definitely opened you up to the world.
Very interesting.
Luna or 7 and 7?
7 and 7s.
Luna opened me up to the world, too.
Yeah.
That's where I met my wife.
Oh, really?
Really? Yeah. We'll have to discuss that off air because we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode 76 of the Better on Draft podcast. I am Ken. We still have our two guests here. We haven't scared them off quite yet. But nonetheless, before we go into news, I don't know if you guys know, but we're doing a bracket challenge.
We are doing a bracket
challenge. Beer bracketology.
Beer bracketology. And all of our brackets are busted.
Oh, completely.
That's for damn sure.
Shit.
So we had four. We called it the full event's called the Stout 16 because we had 16 brewers. We had the IP8, which is the final eight. And going over the results. So in the one side of the bracket, Rochester Mills defeating Ellison.
Okay.
So Rochester Mills going to the final four.
So do we have a vote count on that?
167-149.
Wow.
Oof. Close.
That's very close.
Draft Horse losing.
What?
To Redline, 242-223.
The wild card is still in it.
The wild card.
The reason we call them the wild card, folks, is we had a brewery drop last minute, and they were on the show while we asked them, hey, do you want to join this thing?
Look at that.
All the way from Burton, Michigan, they're still in it.
They went from the first four to the fermented four. That is awesome.
So we also had Downey, the Downey family, 222 beating Canton Brew Works 197.
Go Downey.
Downey is.
And they will be facing the juggernaut that was Boffin beating Sherwood 455-441.
Oh, shit.
So as of last night, there was about a 60-point difference in between Boffin and Sherwood. And Boffin did not let go of the they got close, but they didn't let go. So it's going to be Boffin versus Downey in week three. Rochester Mills versus Redline is going to be the other side of the bracket. The winners will face each other. Do you guys have any predictions? And I think I know who's going to go into the finals, and it's gonna be a little shocker. But we'll start with Rob first.
Oh my goodness!
So Mills and Redline, Downey and Boffin.
In a like complete upset. I mean, Redline has just come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, out of that Saturday of putting them on this bracket, and now they're in the fermented four. So I think I'm gonna go with Redline versus Baffin.
Wow. Wow.
What about you, Angela?
Gotta believe.
She's busy doing our graphics over there, so not talking too much.
Rochester versus Baffin, I think.
All right.
I'm going to go with Rochester and Baffin. I actually had Rochester going all the way to the finals.
Oh, did you really?
I did, but they were going to lose to my eventual winner, who's unfortunately not.
I had Sherwood ABC, and I really thought the Sherwood pick was going to be a good pick.
Is anyone's winner still in the bracket?
No.
Okay. I don't think so.
No. No.
I think actually one of the KBS, not KBS, one of, I think Kevin or Michael have picked Boffin to win it all.
That was Mike, because he picked Boffin to win go all the way. It was ridiculous.
We're all like, okay.
What is happening?
With 400 plus votes each week. I know.
We're sitting there like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, a 15 can't beat a 2, whatever. And just all of a sudden, this shit.
Do you guys want to join in and give your prediction of who you think is going to be in the finals?
No, that 15-2 thing hurts. Still, it stings from last year.
I know. Go green.
Yeah, go white. Me, I'm Rochester Mills. I'm up in that area. I live in Oxford, so, it's one of my go-to places, Rochester Mills. So I got to go with the home team.
All right.
And I'm gonna go Downey. Got no reason for it, but I think it'd be a good challenge.
What about you? Would you like to join in a prediction, Aaron?
Yeah. How does the voting work?
So the voting, you only get one vote per person, and you have to vote on our Facebook page, facebook.com/betteronDraft. I don't know if you did that on purpose, but thank you.
I was saying, get a very good explanation here. Throw this in there.
Yes.
So you have to use the emoji system on the like button, not on the comments, on the like button. I showed a video to people.
Which then was proceeded
still didn't work.
Three people putting an emoji in a comment.
So you have to use the like system. You can use it on your phone or on your computer. Usually it's either the OMG versus the haha emoji, and a brewery is under it. So like if you vote the haha emoji for Downey or the wow emoji for Boffin. So it's very the voting process is very simplistic. But again, you can only lead the horse to water.
So I get it. So they got to vote there. So it's Redline and
Downey.
Redline
and Rochester.
Rochester Mills.
Yep, Downey versus Boffin.
Well, I mean, if you're asking me, I want Mills to win because I know those guys. I know Plaz, and I love the brewery. But I just have a feeling Redline's gonna get like this overwhelming crowd support, and everyone's going to come to the voting button, and they're gonna beat it. So I might think Redline there. I mean, that was going against like my favorite would be Mills, but I think Redline might overtake him there. So I'll say Redline there. Sorry, Plez. and then Boffin, because Eric said it. I actually don't know about Boffin, but I trust him.
Oh, I went Downey.
You went Downey. Yeah. You went with the Downey family in Dearborn.
So yeah, I'll do Boffin because I'm going opposite of him. Pass a bottle.
Give this man a beer.
And Funyuns.
Yes.
And
Funyuns. Yeah, we got a lot of Funyuns here. We got these McClure's. These Bloody Marys.
What happened to Selman in there? I saw him in the bracket.
Sellerman's lost in the first round. I don't have the full bracket.
It's because it's a beer bracket, right? That's why.
Sellerman's actually went up against Boffin.
Oh, jeez.
So, well, I mean, and in the first round, Boffin beat him 241-144.
Andrew's had a hell of a time. He's been trying to make enough beer. He just hasn't had the time.
So, again, we appreciate everyone that joined us in the bracket. I'm going to go with my picks now.
Go for it.
Redline versus Downey.
Wow. Ooh.
I think Boffin's going to go in, and I think the Downey family is going to use the family prowess and get everyone
rally
to vote.
The city of Dearborn.
Rally the city of Dearborn. They had, you know, we've had a lot of people share, like with the Dearborn Commerce shared our page, Sterling Heights Commerce shared our page.
Awesome. That's
so many
awesome.
Like random companies, groups, people shared our page, and we appreciate everyone that's joined.
Absolutely.
We hope all the new listeners that are listening like it. It's going to be quite the interesting week. Next week, we do have a surprise though. Next week for some of the breweries who did not make it, but you have to wait a week to find out. So episode 77 sure.
I'm gonna have to Skype in for that show.
Let's crack open a bottle while Rob brings up a news article. What bottle should we open up first?
Well, I'm gonna stick to the import stuff with CNN imports.
CNN.
Yeah, I'm gonna open something that I think will really wow you guys. Yes, CNN. Wait, what did you say?
He just said it was a fake.
Is it fake beer?
We're talking about the news channel.
Oh, my God. That was a good one.
Talking about the news
fake
channel.
Fake beer coming at you.
That's an alternative fact
that's
beer.
That's an alternative beer.
Yeah, it's alternative fact.
Take that, Wolf.
Dude, this is a fur beer. And I'm not kidding. It's called fur beer.
Fur beer.
Fur beer.
Huh.
This is Appenzeller out of Switzerland.
All right.
Nice. Well, let's crack that one open.
Yeah, it's spruce. It's, yeah.
I don't even... Oh, F-U-H-R?
F-I-R.
F-I-R. Fur
beer.
Fur beer. Nice. Kind of like, not like Furby, but.
I have no idea where I'm going to be able to find this on Untappd. We'll figure it out one day.
So while that's going around,
all right,
Rob, what do you got for us?
All right, we're going to start with what's going on with the Brewers Association, because they posted or they put out their top 50 in terms of the top 50 breweries in 2016 by volume. And pretty much as far as the craft beer brewers are concerned, pretty much the usual suspects are as they were last year. Top five did not move from last year, being Yingling, Boston Beer, Sierra Nevada, New Belgium, and Gambrinus, respectively, pretty much all from 1 to 5. Since Lagunitas was, you know, pretty much is now 50% owned by Heineken, that took them off the list. So moving up into sixth is Duvel, which actually bumped up pretty high, going up from 15th last year to sixth. And I think that is mostly in part, of course, them being merged with Firestone Walker. The only brewery from Michigan that still, well, that is in the top 50 and in the top 10 is going to be Bell's, of course, because, you know, it's Bell's. That's what Bell's does. Round out the top 10,
After Bells was Deschutes, Stone, and Oscar Blues Holding, a.k.a.
So, I mean, technically Perrin's in there.
So, technically Perrin is in there.
There you go.
Yeah. Technically.
Technically.
But not really.
I mean, Perrin makes some barrels. Not all of them. Maybe they wouldn't be in the top 10. Maybe Brooklyn would be up in the top 10 if it wasn't for Perrin or Cigar City.
Boulevard's in the Omi Gang bracket.
And Omi Gang, where are they?
I don't see Omi Gang on this list.
I think.
Omi Duval. It's Duval. Duval is Omi Gang.
Oh, that's all of. Okay.
Yeah, they have Omi Gang and Boulevard.
Okay.
So that's got to be Boulevard, Kansas City.
And Firestone.
So okay. Paso Robles is Firestone. Kansas City is Boulevard. Cooperstown is.
Yeah. That's what I was talking about earlier. Like they bump up the bracket because they accumulated these breweries similar with the Oscar Blues.
Yeah, Brooklyn fell to 11th, so they just outside of the top 10. As far as overall brewing companies, of course, Anheuser-Busch being number one, Miller Coors is two, Pabst is three, and then Yingling is four, followed by North American breweries. And then Boston Beer, Sierra Nevada, and New Belgium. Then Lagunitas, they fall into, obviously, the overall now. Overall, as far as, you know, Michigan breweries and Bell's would be 14th. So, you know, they're still in there. That's pretty
good. It's not bad for, you know, for maintain that definition of craft and, you know, be a top.
Right.
You know.
Who's number 10? Because this is always my favorite to talk to people about.
Number 10 in overall brewing companies is Craft Brew Alliance.
But they're not craft beer.
But they're not craft beer.
But it's a Craft Brew Alliance.
But it's a Craft Brew
Alliance. But they're not craft beer. This is why it doesn't matter.
That's why they're in overall.
Well, no, that's Widmer, Kona. I had it up, and I can't remember the rest of them. Red Hook, Omission. Yeah, it's definitely a group of... craft beer industries. And again, you know, we were talking about it over the crosstalk when we were just discussing. For us, we use the mantra of North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan. If you like it, then it's a good beer. We don't care what you drink as long as you enjoy it.
That's what I was wondering. Does anyone really mind if it's now that it's crafty versus craft? I mean, when I grew up in an era where
I mind if it's tasty or not.
I'm just making it dumb, like trying to sound old. But I mean, it was a very distinct line. I was very militant about craft beer. In the mid 2000s, and fought for that. And I wonder if anyone really minds it.
They do.
They do.
They do a lot.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, I stand behind it because I fought really hard for it. But then I'm like, well, I mean, there's a lot of good beer that these guys are making, but it's not remarkable. It's good,
yeah,
right. But wonder if people mind.
The thing is that I don't. If you care or you care in your own head, that's fine. But I'm not going to sit here and let you talk shit to me, for lack of better words, if I'm going to enjoy a Blue Moon. Or I'm going to enjoy a Killian's.
Or Guinness.
Or King Cobra.
King Cobra, if Dan was
Milwaukee's
here.
Best.
With Funyuns.
Or a Trooper.
With Funyuns.
With Funyuns. Exactly.
So that's the thing, though, is we always try to make sure, you know, as much as we have a beer podcast, the whole point is the camaraderie around the beer industry.
Yeah.
And we more align ourselves with those breweries because you see that camaraderie in the breweries. You don't see, you know, the more outspoken people, maybe your Joe Short, your Larry Bell might say something, but your, you know, Kevin DeGroote over at North Center Brewing, or, you know, maybe the head brewer over at Brown Iron Brew House.
Ryan? Or is Tim?
Tim.
Both.
Tim. Well, Tim. Yeah. Yes. Tim's the owner. He's the head brewer. Yeah. Yeah. Mad respect for both those guys.
But again, they're not going to come here and be like, you know, you have to drink this or you're stupid. You know, and that's the things that we hear, you know, and I hear a lot of places. You know, when you go to, we met at the Polar Beers Festival in Royal Oak, and that's not a Brewers Guild festival. Therefore, it's not a good festival. In a lot of people's eyes.
That's why I like that festival, is because it's outside the lines of the Brewers Guild Festival. And I'm excited about that. I mean, I was really militant for a long time about one way or the other, but there's a new wave going on. I'm excited about the influence from all these new breweries and people's perspective. It's great. It's great.
A lot of different collaborations from all these smaller breweries.
Well, you also get a lot of the bigger breweries that are out there that want to participate in these events. Your New Belgium, I don't think Stone was there. They had a brewery from Windsor.
Founders was there.
Yeah, Founders was there. Well, Founders is a big big Michigan beer. Sam Adams was there, though. I'm trying to think.
Ten Barrel there. I saw Ten Barrel there in the Budweiser.
Elysian was there.
Elysian under the Budweiser tent.
Yep. So a lot of these breweries that you're not going to see at your typical festival. And to be honest, it was more about having fun than nitpicking the beers.
You're right.
And when you go to some of the breweries, you see a lot of people like nitpicking beers and almost like they're having their own contest in their head of what their favorite beer is. And I'm like, just drink and go to the next. Well, maybe that's my bad, because I got tanked at the Winter Festival.
Dude, the Winter all those festivals are made. They're made to really experience all the beers. Mm-hmm.
They are, but
sometimes, but when they're 13.5% each beer, you can't really.
Who just said like at the beginning of the show you can take the horse to water?
You can't make them make up their mind.
That was totally the lead of this show, sitting right across from me.
You can't stop them from drinking too much water. I think whatever it was there.
That is exactly why I took the Camelback with me, because I had 1.5 liters of water strapped to my back. But I made that absolute full-ass mistake. Being only my second festival, the first 10 beers I had were over 10%.
Oh, Jesus.
And yeah, nobody took me
nobody
to water.
Tells you.
Nobody tells you. Oh, man, look at that mean vanilla bean. They got hot Mexican hot chocolate massacre. I'm like jumping back and forth, and it's 4:30. I'm like, shit.
It's 4:30. Yeah, that's.
I gotta pour Kunin in half an hour, and I'm fucked up.
Oh, is that why you were late to Kunin, and it was just Dan and I for a bit?
That's why I was late to Kunin, because I was drinking water like a motherfucker.
Let's crack open one more while Rob goes to the next. That schnuggle. Schnugglebach?
Dude, that's
Schnuggelbach.
Schnuggelbach. Yeah, that's a winter warmer from Switzerland. Yeah. It's fur beer. I mean, it's spruce tips, but it kind of tastes ginger.
Yeah,
it was delicious.
A little bit.
Delicious. I mean, isn't that crazy? Like, it's the water because you get that clean after.
Smooth.
You
know, yeah. Very smooth.
But I brought this 2012. This is like, I mean, this is reserve stuff. So it's 2012. Winter Conks Nicks, you know.
That's a lot of words that aren't English.
Gesundheit.
Well, this is
Gesundheit.
Truth be told, this is a Belgian label. I mean, this is. I'm trying to bring some stuff you guys aren't going to be able to find in the store.
So,
this has got a foil top, so it's going to take me a little bit to open this up. So someone else might want to talk, and I'll undo the cork.
Rob, what else you got?
One other thing I ran into the other day, which really pissed me off. I'll get to why it pissed me off, because of where I ran into this. But for those that that frequent Airbnb that had an awesome program that was going on, that they call the Night At series, where people can participate in a string of competitions, or maybe it's just it's basically kind of a entry thing. Where gifted winners got overnight stays in locations like the Abbey Road Studios in London or the Paris Catacombs. They had one that they were running where the next location was going to be the Gravity Bar, which is right smack dab in the home of Guinness. So you had the bar in the Guinness storehouse, where you would get to stay there for a night. They're going to convert the bar into a loft. And space is going to be complete with, this perfect pint-shaped bed. You'd have a butler, life-size Jenga, which I don't know what you're going to do with two people. I guess you need to just grab a bunch of people. You have the Guinness tasting bar. And
it's not life like Jenga with real people. It's the big bricks as tall as you.
You're talking about the people as a Jenga?
No. I'm talking just a life-size Jenga. But, I mean, when it's just you and a guest... I guess you better.
I mean, Jenga's a two-person sport.
I think you just need to make some friends.
Wait a minute, Jenga's a sport?
Have you seen these life-size Jengas?
I think that's a sport.
We've seen these blocks.
So pretty much, you'd have the run of this loft, and you know, just a quick shout out to Mr. Gerald Farrell, who's out there in Dublin listening to us. Hopefully, Hopefully you get to win this. I don't know. Maybe if you signed up for it. So basically the winner and the guest gets taken on a private tour of the brewery's production site, six-course meal, which features some delicacies that are actually made with Guinness, and full access to the Guinness taps until they close. The shitty part about this is that the article that I found was published 2 days ago, and the contest is already closed.
What the shit?
Yeah, exactly. So anybody who is even thinking about going to Airbnb's website to enter this, where you basically had to put in 50 to 200 words to, you know, say why you're the biggest fan of Guinness. And, yeah.
I would just write, I like Guinness over and over again.
Until you had 200 words?
200 words, yeah. Stop writing. It'd be like, I like Guinness. So what's that? 198 would be, so it'd be I like. And that's the last word would be like.
I like.
I lick.
I like.
I like.
I like.
You could finish the sentence yourself.
Oh, my gosh.
So I guess good luck to those who had entered to that, and I guess happy drinking and going
up
absolutely
over here.
Crazy.
I had to do the math. So he was faster with the math in my calculator.
you don't know the rule of three for threes? Anything that's divisible by three, the numbers can add up to a number divisible by three. So 198 is 18, which can be divisible by three. Therefore, I like beer would fit that many times. That's how I like I'm when it comes to math and like that, those small math problems, I can do it like that in my head. The second you add letters, screw that. That's why I took algebra twice.
Math problems.
I took it once in the advanced course and then once again with the regular crop.
Dude, I have too many problems. I do not need math problems.
Brought to you by Math Made Easy.
So what is this beer that we're drinking?
Did you smell it by any chance?
Yeah, this is I'm very proud of these beers. I mean, this is a 2012. So this is something you probably won't find in a lot of stores. Maybe Holiday Market, he might have a couple of these on the shelf.
It's only 13%, don't worry.
Yeah.
Fits the criteria of the show.
You're right.
I thought it'd be fun to bring you guys. I mean, I'm just so proud to represent these guys United States. They're based out of Michigan as an importer, and they're bringing really interesting small Belgian, Swiss, and Italian breweries to the United States, and they're just trying to branch out now, but right in the last 3 years, just focusing on Michigan.
It's kind of the opposite of what Brew Export does.
Yeah.
Because it's an import business as opposed to an export business.
Yeah, and Shannon Long is awesome. I mean, what she's doing with her business and taking Michigan beers out.
Yeah, we had her 73 weeks ago.
Well, of course you got to have her early on.
She came in when she was drunk. Her mom was her DD, and it was the Friday of the Fall Beer Fest in 2015.
Nice.
So, yeah, she came in. Shout out to Shannon from Brew Export. Great job. I ran into her at Bee Nectar. I actually got interviewed, so when the Bee Nectar episode comes on, you'll see this handsome mug right here.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I was just like, are you skateboarding in that one?
No, I'm not skateboarding. I was drinking in that one.
Yeah. Well, thank God. I mean, someone is.
Yeah, I drink a lot. So I went to – but before we go to the next – so I went to Ellison for the first time ever yesterday.
Yeah.
Never been to Ellison. And this place has not really a big tasting room.
Do you have a hard time finding it?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. MapQuest was on point for that. Hard time finding parking.
Yeah.
But I went on bingo night, which is a huge night there, so it was hard to...
Wait, bingo?
Bingo. Not even bar bingo. Bingo.
They actually play bingo there?
Yeah, bingo, like B4.
Oh, dude, all right, that's it, we're going.
Do they provide the daughters, or do you have to bring
your own? Well, it's on your phone. They do it on the phone.
That's not bingo.
Damn.
you want to go play bingo, go to 21 and Gratiot.
What's that 21 in Gratiot?
A bingo hall.
Oh. A church. You just go to any.
Is that the bingo hall you used to work at?
No, both of those are gone.
Oh, okay. So I got in there, packed tasting room, probably about maybe 60 to 70 people, wall to wall. And then I went on a little tour, and I saw their brewery and their distillery now and their cooling room and their winemaking room. And this place is huge. And they can only fit like 70 people in the tasting room. So definitely a great place. Check them out over in pretty much right at the outskirts of East Lansing, right off of Grand River. It is hidden, as Eric mentioned. So Be careful.
It's back in an industrial park. Like most good microbrews or craft breweries are back in an industrial park, right? Yeah. I mean, when you think about, like, you know, Three Floyds, you know, when you think about – and again, we were talking about Vegas. You know, if you want to go find a place, you know, they want to be found, right? So these guys are
– Dragonmead.
Dragonmead. Yeah, exactly.
You have to know where you're going or it's a long round trip back.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but it's worth a journey. Absolutely. Allison has been kicking butt for a long time. So
I also tomorrow is drafting tables 1 year. So that means that they were here 1 year ago.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Because
it was the day before they opened.
The day before they opened, they came out here to hang out with us.
Exhausted as shit.
Oh, yeah. You could tell. They had a blast, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is always good to see.
Happy anniversary to them. Yes, and, yes. You know, as much as I am heading to Perrin for No Rules Day tomorrow, I guess I would hope on the way back that I could stop over there and get a couple bottles of the Mean Vanilla Bean, because that stuff at Winter Beer Fest was phenomenal. It's rare that and I told them when I had it that there's not too many places that use enough vanilla as much as they do, and the taste on that stuff is amazing. So everybody who gets a couple bottles of that, I'll be jealous as hell.
Get out the drafting table.
We're leaving at 3 a.m. actually, because my friend is worried that we're gonna not make the line. So
3 for 3. No rules
for drafting table.
Oh, for drafting table.
I think there's only 250 bottles.
Wow. Rob, looks like you might be skipping Perrin, man.
No. Perrin is not being skipped. And I mean, I'll primarily.
Well, just trade Angela for something. I mean,
I'm
going to trade you this for this.
She's ISO. ISO.
ISO.
Wait, you drawing your own personal ad now? Jeez.
Hey, when you
this Grand Cru is really good.
Yeah, it's 2012 Winter Kaninsky.
You can taste that the alcohol's in there. It's not like as hidden as some.
Dude, it's 2012, so imagine.
This is
like when you see these out. You know that it's got some fire.
Oh yeah.
So
there's an article. I want you to go to article number 2 on your list, because that's the last one I want to do before we head into our break.
Yes.
Because we talked about this during the crosstalk.
Oh, goodness. Because there was a bunch of internet chatter last week that just kind of started a hell of a rumor about shorts being in a possible sale. Basically, rumor was around this time that Heineken was going to purchase 50% of shorts while Lagunitas was going to help with distribution. Shorts marketing coordinator came out and she said, "We've been approached for years about selling and hasn't been something we've explored before. We've had conversations about the benefit of a possible future partnership that would not involve loss of control or enough shares to get near the Brewers Association craft definition, but we don't have anything to report at this time." Of course, there's always been rumors that apparently been going back and forth with shorts, whether them being sold or not. It's not something that's really new. But one of the partners at Shorts said, you know, "We don't hide things when potential opportunities come up. We talk about it in the open. It's our own fault for being open, but he prefers it that way." Huh. And, you know, he can tell you that, you know, we've been approached numerous times, a lot more over the last few years. We've always declined, and we have no agreed-upon deal at this time. We get approached, and we always talk to them. We've never closed that door. We think it's always an important discussion to have, and we'll continue to have them. But at this time, we have no announcement to make. Mm. You know, I'm kind of like, why does this shit always keep coming up?
I blame the CBYs.
Not at all.
No?
CBC?
Oh. Ken, why?
Well, hold on. The CBC?
CBC.
Yeah, Craft Brewers Convention. Anytime the Craft Brewers Convention comes around, all this stuff really comes to the forefront, because as a group, we go to that convention and we talk to each other, and this is where rumors like really start to circulate before and after.
So is it like that, you know, if someone that's like, I'm not sure if they have media people at these things. Or,
dude, huge.
Huge? Okay.
Yeah.
Is it like where you see the media guy from, you know, this is an MLive interview, article that we're reading from. Is
yeah.
Like, right so on. Is MLive going to be there? It's like, oh.
Not MLive.
I see Joe Short talking to this guy over here from one of the big guys.
I think it's in the article. It started with a tweet. Yeah. And somebody just basically went on there and said, Shorts is selling out to Heineken.
It's like the game of telephone at that point.
It's not necessarily the game of telephone as much as one person says it, the next person says it, like telephone. But the thing is that when it gets to the person of power in social media, then it spirals out of control. And
so
we saw this
that everyone now, follows
now
on
minus 2000, like where there's smoke, there's fire. And they admitted to it. They admitted to it that people have approached them, which isn't a shock. People have probably approached Larry Bell. People have probably approached, just like you saw Founders with Sam Miguel, Lagunitas, probably New Glarus, Three Floyds, Shirley. All these breweries have been approached by somebody big. It's stupid to think otherwise.
Sure.
Right.
If you don't think any of those top 10 breweries that we talked about, minus probably Yuengling and Sam Adams, because they're in a league of their own in comparison to everyone else.
Yeah.
Somebody, whether it's ABI, InBev, Miller Coors, Molson Coors, Constellation with Ballast Point, Pabst now, everybody's been approached. And doesn't mean anything. It's just that they've been approached. And you see this in business all the time of any type of company, whether it's small or big, if they want your product or they want your spot, you're going to get approached. So whether you're Joe Corner Store, that's a liquor store, and there's no more liquor licenses in the state, or sorry, in your city to sell liquor, you're going to be approached to sell out and sell your company to that person. And that's all it is. But the thing is that it explodes with social media when you have such an easy way to talk to someone within milliseconds. You know, we have our show, and we're getting up-to-date news. We know what's going on. We know who people are talking to. And we know everything that's going on within a matter of minutes. So that's, you know, and it could be that's just the way that it is. That's the way that we are. So, yeah, people have approached Joe Short. People are like, hey, we want to buy you. And Joe Short can say no, and that's it. That doesn't mean that, you know, Heineken hasn't approached Joe Short. But that also doesn't mean that there's absolutely nothing to worry about for the Shorts. And I think a lot of people are iffy, specifically with Shorts, simply because, hey, Michigan made, Michigan only. And then a month later, going out. And that's fine for them. Oh, yeah. But you can't do a Michigan-only promotion on your six-pack carriers and then go out of Michigan a month later. So, because you know that they had to have had that idea that they were doing that before they did that promotion. But we're going to take a quick break. And if you guys want to continue this conversation, we can. If not, we'll go to the next news article after. But we'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. And we are back, Better on Draft podcast, episode 76, segment 3. No Bat Bush, no 5 questions. We still have plenty of
good question. Like, how much do we miss 5 questions right now?
Question number 1, where's Matt Bush?
Where's Matt Bush?
I think he's at Rent right now, actually.
Yeah, he's at a play.
So before we get started, we have a triple IPA from Ascension. That I'm going to drink, and while I do that, I'm going to I'm gonna let Eric over here talk about a book that he's actually writing or has written.
No, I'm actually in the process of writing it. Thank you, I appreciate that.
Of course,
you know my inspiration for getting into the craft beer world was I love craft beverage. I've been drinking it for decades. You know, and the fortunate thing about my old job is I used to get to travel around a lot. So I lived in Europe for 4 years, lived in England, lived in Germany. They got a few good beers there.
Nice.
But what I found is that, you know, there's a lot of attitude about American beer, right? And when I came back, I traveled around the U.S. a lot, and I found that there are just amazing beers here. So I come from a manufacturing background, and before I started Artisan XL about a year ago, I was in the people side of things, organizational development, people development. What I found as I focused on the craft beverage side is that, brewers lose a lot of sleep over things that you know, they don't necessarily have to with regard to the people side of things. So staffing, training, development, retention, those kind of things. So I thought I would do a, you know, I would do a service and I would try to offer my knowledge, experience, get some people together that can ultimately save them some time, sleepless nights. Mm. So the book really is about best practices. So the book itself, yet to be titled, but will be published this year, is really taking best practices from the manufacturing side of things, but also best practices from within the industry. I have a tremendous amount of respect for the artisans that make craft beer. I love it. You know, I've been drinking it for decades. The fact is that, you know, there are some things that that could help them, and they may or may not know, you know, who to reach out to for these things. So what I decided to do was put together a compilation of best practices that I had picked up over the course of my two decades in manufacturing and help them out. So as part of that, I've interviewed a suite of people, both from, you know, the manufacturing slash automotive side, you know, also from the craft beverage side. And, you know, the idea is to put that in front of craft brewers in a very digestible, quick hit kind of way. Because I know these guys are, you know, they're working 14, 16 hours a day.
You know, let alone a lot of time to read anything.
They don't. They really don't. And I respect what they're doing. I don't want to disrupt them from making the incredible stuff that we've got on the table in front of us.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. There's still a shitload on the table.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We're working on that.
Yeah.
So what'd you take away from eating Jim Coke?
So, all right. So I met Jim, and he was one of the more gracious celebrities I've ever met. All right, he was one of the only celebrities I've ever met. But he, I told him I was writing a book, and he said, "Yeah, that was the longest 3-year project I've ever had because it took me 9 years to write the book." So you know, it's one of those things where you know, he's just passionate about what he does. Mm. So I met Jim at the Craft Brewers, the Brewers Guild conference earlier this year in Kalamazoo, and phenomenal guy. He is not unlike anybody else that I've met in the industry. I mean, these are just fun people to be around. You know, they're passionate about what they do. There's a lot of people that focus on the art as well as the science. And I just feel compelled to, you know, lend whatever I can to make the stuff I like to drink better through helping these organizations.
These smaller breweries.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It seems like that we've probably more so recently, Ken and Ron, maybe you guys might think about this, that a lot of the smaller breweries that we've had on this show have been pretty – they'd like to talk about, you know – The art and the science that goes into making something, and
not necessarily the business sense.
Not so much the biz. Now, granted, we've had some people on the show, and no disrespect to any of them, because some of them have been some of the best guests that we've ever had. Have been, you know, it's a business, you know. And there's nothing wrong with business. Well, we've made that pretty clear. But you know, the people that have, you know, it seems that it's becoming more of an art and a science with some of the smaller breweries that we've had on the show.
Right,
and it's a nascent industry, right? When you think about, you know, craft brewing in Michigan, Aaron mentioned it earlier. You know, you know, Motor City Brewing Works, you know.
Am I passing this down, by the way?
No, that's yours.
You're good. Oh, okay, good.
Oh, yeah.
I better call an Uber.
Have you smelled it? Have you smelled this? You don't want to pass this. This is phenomenal.
I haven't passed it. Oh, damn. Damn, what's this?
This is the Tropicana.
Dude, this is Heavy Seas out of Baltimore.
It smells like Fruit Loops. By the way, if you guys didn't know, I finished my my Jade and Silent Bob. No issues. I actually liked it. Very citrusy.
There was no bitter beer face over there.
No, not at all.
I wasn't sure if you were actually drinking it.
Guys, I'm
dude, this beer is perfect for fruit beers.
Yeah, this fruit beer is awesome.
Now watch, I'm probably going to not like this one.
Right. I'm looking down at my
– It's okay. You'd be the first one.
Oh, my God. That's all you smell is, though.
Dude, you'd be the first one to tell me you don't like this.
No, it's good. I like it.
Yeah, no, I'm
challenge accepted. Actually, really good.
I typically don't like fruit beers, and
it tastes a little more bittery
than like your Oberon or a Blue Moon or something that's a little more citrus heavy. Because you have the citrus, but you definitely have that hot bite right at the end.
Dude, it smells like Fruit Loops. He was right.
It smells like Fruit Loops.
It is. This reminds me of childhood breakfast cereal. It is just.
I mean, I could drink this Saturday morning to just watch cartoons. It's just like, fuck life. I'm good.
I have different memories of
it's all good. It's all real fruit, too, because it's not any extract or anything like that. It's mango and blood orange peel. And they do two treatments in the boil and then in the fermentation.
Oh, nice. That's crazy.
It is, yeah. Nice. I like it.
I don't even know what the hell I'm drinking anymore.
Yeah.
Eric, so much crap over here. It's
like, I had a question. In concerns of the book, because, you know, it sounds like it is geared towards those who are already in business, who are already now, or, you know, are already, you know, working in the breweries and, you know, trying to run day to day. Would you see this as something that is going to be for, you know, the students that are trying to get into brewing? Because obviously we have what is going on, hopefully in the next few months or so, that we have, you know, a scholarship program that we're going to be doing with Schoolcraft College. And of course, they have their brewing programs and they need to learn, you know, not only how to brew, but how to manage business. Could you see this as a learning tool for them,
as a textbook
to really understand, you know, the background and what to do in terms of, you know, running the business?
Well, first off, kudos to you guys for doing the scholarship program. That's just tremendous.
Kudos to everyone that's joined us, too.
Yes.
That's not just us.
Not just us.
We're going to be doing talking a lot more about it. Sorry to cut you off, but we're going to be talking a lot more about it in the coming month or two once we get all the donations through and get everything aligned with the rulings and everything like that, because giving away money is a lot more complicated than you would think.
Yeah.
You thought you could just be like, here you go, here's $1,000. Well, $2,000, because Rich Weinkauf matched our entire donation. So that was $1,000 right from him. So props to Rich Weinkauf right over there of Schoolcraft College.
That's amazing.
But yeah, like that kind of thing. It's in the process. We're slowly getting there to get the. We don't want to jump the gun anymore, because we definitely jumped the gun. And then we're like, shit, there's a lot of stuff that still needs to happen before this is finalized.
Well, but the concept is so solid. And the concept is, again, not growing up in the industry, but, you know, having a different background, appreciating it from the outside and actually being in it now. What I love about it is there's such collaboration, right? Mm-hmm. And there's collaboration between brewers. There's collaboration between owners. It's a feel-good industry. And people are positive. They're constructive. And, you know, to offer a scholarship or offer help where you can, I mean, that's amazing. And that's in keeping with the spirit of craft beer.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, again, kudos to you guys. To answer your question, you know, with regard to the book, the idea is that, you know, this is going to be hopefully a quick read that anybody who wants to learn a little bit about business, learn a little bit about how to apply that within the craft beverage industry is going to be able to pick up. And, you know, Aaron and I, the reason I'm here, Aaron and I have been collaborating on a couple things. Not just is he a good guy and he's very knowledgeable in everything craft beer, but, you know, we've been working on a few things. You know, one of the things that we're working on is, I mentioned a little bit earlier, you know, it's called the Bright Tank. And, you know, we don't have a product right now, but we're working on a few different things. And the idea is to be a central resource for people who are currently within the industry or who want to get in the industry to learn how to do business. And this is not to take away from anything that anybody else is doing. You know, Schoolcraft has got an amazing program, right? And they do have a class on the business of beer, right? And there are, you know, there are other programs, you know, on the East Coast and West Coast that focus on the same thing. But the idea is that we want to offer that, you know, at a lower cost or free, you know, for those that are interested, you know, because we want to raise, you know, the tide, right? Because a rising tide raises all ships, right?
Right.
So, you know, we've got this, you know, great enthusiasm about craft beer. We want to make sure that we share as much as we can with the folks that want to take this industry to a next level. So, you know, we're working through a couple different, you know, opportunities right now. You know, anybody that's interested, you know, again, keep an eye on the Bright Tank. I think we've got a website now, thebrighttank.net. But, you know, this is going to be something that's up and coming. And it's, you know, very similar to what Aaron's got with Blue Note Beverage.
you know, there's not a lot of activity in this space right now.
It runs side by side. Actually, this is a one stop shop for this is industry facing for anyone looking for any sales, marketing, distribution relationship, anything that has to do with the beer industry between supplier and distributor. That's kind of what we do. On the table, you can see that we have a bunch of nerdy, cool beers that are everything facing, and just this is the behind the scenes stuff that makes it exciting for everyone else, and we just want to keep that excitement going, and push things forward because there's 7,000 breweries coming up, and
very that's quickly,
awesome. Yeah, it
very quickly.
So very quickly. So when you look at 7,000 breweries, that means that probably 30% of them are in some kind of process of either you have to lay down 50% of investment to get a license. Mm-hmm. So these are there's probably 30% that aren't even active yet. So by the middle of this year, you guys are really going to feel that's
7,000.
and think about this. Before pre-prohibition, there was 1,500 breweries. Yep. And they were tied. Those were tied houses. So like there was Stroh's bars. Yep. And there were bars that were just sold directly to the bars and restaurants. When prohibition came along, they created this third tier. And post that, there was like 70 breweries. This system was never set up for 7,000 breweries. It's never seen it. The United States has never seen anything past 1,500 breweries. 1,500 breweries was the most we saw before Prohibition. So before Prohibition was the highest we've seen. So 7,000 is by far testing the system.
You know, it's we talk about number of breweries. We talk about, you know, pre-Prohibition versus today, 2017. I'm actually reading a book right now about the city of Detroit, and they talked about they go as far back as when the British and the French were fighting over it, basically. And they talked about the number of businesses that were in the city of Detroit proper. Now, the city of Detroit proper in the early 1800s was really freaking small. We're talking Detroit River today, probably no further than where Ford Field's probably sitting right now, and I'm making a very, very conservative guess at this point. But they mentioned they mentioned breweries and distilleries in the city of Detroit at the time. This is like early to mid 1800s. We're talking about a couple dozen at the time of both distilleries and breweries. They said those two particularly. We fast forward to 2017. How many do we have just in the city, just in Tri-County area, Metro Detroit proper? There's an insane amount of breweries, mm-hmm. insane amount of talent too. We've had a number of people on this show. We've talked to a number of people at all these events that we go to, and even before this show was even born, the amount of talent that's out there in the state of Michigan is insane. And then when you compare that to the rest of the 6,700 breweries, because I'm going to guess there's about 300 in the state of Michigan.
Yep.
This industry, we talk about the bubble. Is there, there's people that are defying whether the bubble is really happening.
Well, that kind of goes into something I ran into.
Uh-oh. What do you got? You're going to defy me now.
About the bubble.
Shit.
And a various bubble that apparently is happening in Grand Rapids. Because MLive put out an article about the fact that there is the opinion that Grand Rapids is in decline in terms of the amount of breweries that are out there. Pretty much what they've seen is that they've noted that the breweries in Grand Rapids have tripled since 2011.
Okay.
And, there's economists like Bart Wilson, who was in this article. Bart Wilson's actually an economist for the Brewers Association. And, he says closes are sure to come. And in the next 10 to 5 years or so, it's going to test local brewers, as the Grand Rapids market actually starts to mature. He pretty much sees that, it won't be – the closures won't be a result of people who are getting tired of certain beers, but it's going to come down to breweries that understand the economics of running a small business and if they've got the right financing to actually sustain themselves.
So there's – go ahead.
Oh, no, no, no.
So I'm looking at this. There's a map of Grand Rapids, like the general vicinity of Grand mm-hmm. Rapids, plus, you know, inside Grand Rapids. So when I mean the vicinity, we're talking Comstock Park, you know, where the Winter Beer Fest is. We go all the way up to Cedar Springs, which is further north. So, you know, a little all over the place, but most – the center is in Grand Rapids.
Right. And I kind of feel like there's just like – you know there's a place that has so many breweries yes. when they have a passport book. Full of the breweries that you can get a stamp right. for, so, which I'm taking that shit with me tomorrow.
So they talk about that there's going to be a downfall in, I mean, I don't, is a down, quote unquote, downfall in the next 5 to 10 years.
Right. I mean,
they're showing here that there's breweries still being opened later this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it kind of goes back to the article we talked about. I think it was last week or the week before.
Sure.
That we had an article where there was someone who was of the opinion that there is no bubble, that
yes.
breweries have pretty much learned their lesson
right.
to not open up and then just immediately try to start distributing.
We've had,
and just, you know, yep. let's worry about the land that's around us
right.
and just make good beer. And either if we distribute, we basically just send kegs to pubs and do takeovers and leave it at that.
It's
the concept of hyper-local, right?
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, I live in Oxford, and we are going to have two breweries opening up, you know, for 3,500 people. But we're going to draw people from outside of that area.
Yes.
But regardless – you know, I don't know what the distribution plans are for those two breweries, mm-hmm. but, you know, making good beer that is going to satisfy your local audience and you don't have to put it on the shelves at, you know, big box retailers mm-hmm. necessarily, because your profit is more in your tap room anyway. You
right.
know? But
right.
to run a successful business, mm-hmm. you still need to run a successful business.
And that's catering to the people that are around you. Now we've had Redline, we've had, you know, like Sellerman's getting that blue collar crowd.
That's exactly. I was looking because I always
that blue collar crowd
the Trasher.
The Trasher's yes.
Trasher's good, but I think you got to make it interesting. I mean,
yes. Yeah,
Grand Rapids has a lot of dry counties around it, mm-hmm. so
really,
yeah.
Like I know there's a long time ago, and by long I mean like. Geez, like 8 years ago, I had a idea for a beer store, and it's pretty much what 8 Degrees Detroit is right now, with a few different things that they haven't done yet. But learning, like, there's Royal Oak Township that's dry.
Oh.
So it's this little area in Royal Oak.
Wait a minute.
Have you ever been to Royal Oak Township?
No, I haven't.
It should be dry. No, there's four liquor stores like surrounding it. It's
that's when you know where the border is.
Yeah.
Royal Oak Township is dry.
Yeah, not the city, obviously.
Yeah.
Royal Oak Township is dry. You can get a list of
V's and Luna.
You can get a list of all those dry townships on the MLCC website.
But I think that. You know, it comes down to if you're making it interesting and you're
yes
you're making it something that people will travel to. I mean, Grand Rapids has to they have to keep up with that. So I'm not surprised that there's five breweries looking to open in that area because why not? I mean, if you're interesting, people will travel.
Yes,
and in Detroit area, we are within four counties. Most wealth and liquor license in the state.
What's the fourth county? Is that Windsor?
Washtenaw.
Windsor's not in there. Washtenaw, Macomb.
Washtenaw, Macomb, Wayne.
I would say five because I'm going to throw Livingston in there because you're going to have Old Nation in there.
Yeah, throw Livingston in there, fine. So, yeah, that's
too far away. But,
shut up. They travel out here for us.
No, that's fine. You're just doing it for Old Nation, which I'm totally fine with. That's fine.
Well, you can do
Michigan Brewing Works, too.
Ellison's in there, too. Yeah,
Brewing Works.
Is Bobby Mason?
That's Michigan Brewing Works. Yeah.
Is Bobby Mason still around?
Bobby Mason's still around. We can talk about that in 7 minutes.
No. That's not.
Well, that's when the show's over.
But, you know, you get people to come out to visit. You know, we had the local on here, you know, a couple weeks ago. You know, a little bar in Centerville. You know, never even heard of Centerville prior to the show. They come on. And they're bringing in people. You know, it's a bar with food, but they're, you know, craft beer bar in a local city like Centerville. No one's ever heard of it. yet they're attracting not only their locals and getting people introduced into craft beer specifically, but you know they're drawing some people from outside as well.
Well, here's definitely the thing. And in regards to the bubble, you're going to see the Michigan mid-tier breweries are going to get hit the hardest. The ones that are starting and do distribution, but they're not your, say, top 10, your Stroh's, Bell's, Founders, New Holland, Atwater. It's the ones under those, and that you're talking your Ellison's, you're talking Rochester Mills, you're talking these are the breweries that are the ones that are going to hurt the most from the bubble. If you open up, hold on one second. If you open up a small brewery in a random city, Downey Dearborn, perfectly fine. You're going to get plenty of people in those areas.
Yes.
Dearborn's got the little downtown Dearborn. Downey is knowingly just not open except for the weekends because that's what they've produced themselves. They have their own jobs, and on the weekend they produce beer. So you have these mid-sized breweries who are going to get either eaten up for their recipes or they're going to go out of business. And unless you're in that area like Jane and James, which is technically in Kentwood, perfect spot. Not close to anything, close to the freeway, though. Winery, brewery, don't have food because you don't need food because you're literally away from all those other breweries.
In an office complex that I passed three times.
It's hard to find.
Every time.
But you have, you know, for instance, your Gonzo's Big Dog. Mm. I don't think they have food there.
Have vanilla porters,
and they have, but they have Old Peninsula right down the road. They have a couple other breweries right down the road. I think that is one that could potentially go out of business. Not that I want them to, because they don't have what other people have. So they have good beer, but sooner or later, in the state of Michigan, especially with all the food that you have in this state at the breweries, you know, we talk about breweries like falling down. We might not be a fan of their beer, but their food is on point. Like that food there is just amazing. I've never had a bad meal there.
No.
And that's the thing though, is that I'll go eat there and drink a beer, but I'm not gonna go there and drink the beer.
Right.
And that's not a knock against their beer. It's just they do a lot more pale ales and a lot more ales than I would prefer. Simple as that. So you were gonna say, I'm sorry, I really like cut you off and then went on a tangent.
No, that's all right. No, it's so, you know, when we talked earlier about, you know, the city of Pontiac, right? I mean, there's an economic engine that comes from these places, right? I think everybody knows the story of Founders. If you don't.
Hold on.
You know,
is that a triple that you just poured us?
Yes.
Dude, that's Jesus Motor City Christ. Triple. That is something you can only get at the brewery, and we're going to do some limited keg releases out there, but isn't that awesome?
Yeah, you can. It rivals another local triple right there in regards, like, the taste is on point. The alcohol's not too high.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Go on.
Motor City Brewing Works triple, man. I brought it because it's not available. I just wanted to bring it for you guys.
So. No, sorry.
Go ahead, Eric.
Need a cigarette. That's cool.
Yeah, just
it was good. Good.
Hold on a second. I got one of these coasters right here.
Oh, Lord.
That's an Artisan XL coaster, by the way. Plug. Shameless plug. So... No, the small microbreweries, the nanos, you know, who are just catering to local areas, they can be an economic engine. You know, Pontiac, as I was saying, you know, is a great example of a city that hopefully is going to be able to rebuild itself in the downtown based on, you know, just a couple businesses.
Yes.
You know, not only do you have, you know, the big barbecue chain Slows. It's tongue in cheek. I mean, it's a great local barbecue place, but you've got a couple breweries that are opening up, you know. So Experimentation, phenomenal. Shout out to Eric there, does a great job, you know. And then you've got the Fillmore 13,
which are basically like 15 seconds apart.
Yeah,
seconds.
Yeah. Right. You go to the bathroom,
15 steps apart.
You go to the bathroom, you might walk into the wrong one.
Right.
But the beer is awesome at both of them, and they're not competing with each other. So, you know, this local economic engine, you know, what we need is we need these businesses to be able to sustain themselves. Mm-hmm. And to do that, it's, you know, and where Aaron and I come from, it's not just making sure that you create a great product that's table stakes. You have to do that, and you have to differentiate yourself. But you have to build your business in a way that makes sure that you are there for the long term, right?
Yep.
You're there for you, the employees, the employees' families and local community.
Yeah. Right.
And so, you know, my business, you know, Artisan Excel, our collaboration with a couple other guys who, you know, are involved in this, you know, which is again called the Bright Tank. You know, we are focused on making sure that these guys can be around through any bubble burst.
Right? Yeah.
So, all right, Aaron's passing around.
Yeah, actually.
No, not to interrupt them because I know we're at
I look at it 30
rest.
Seconds. Yeah. We got 30 seconds. Don't forget to check out Zatuna Liquor over in Rochester Hills. Go say hi to Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Gus.
Hey, Jack.
Whoever's out there, definitely check them out. Great place for everything that you need.
Dude, you can get Tropicana in there. Like, we were drinking the Tropicana. You can get it at
Zatuna. Go get the Tropicana over at Zatuna Liquor.
Damn, that was good.
And so, Aaron. And Eric, thank you very much for coming. And no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft. Have a good night.
Go vote.